This is the Art of Living Well Radio Network. Radio to inspire enlightened living. You're listening now to the Art of Living Well.
Welcome, everybody, to our Twin Flame and Soulmate Relationship Show today. Getting close to Valentine's Day, it seemed like a perfect topic to be discussing today. And it's also my beloved Ahanu's birthday. Shall we tell him how old you are?
No, please.
Oh, how young you are?
No.
He's younger than me, you know, by, how many years?
It's still so long ago, I can't remember.
I don't want to reveal it too much.
But what's interesting, though, is that it's the 11th of the 2nd, and your birthday was on the 11th of the 11th last year. So these 11s are very strong between us.
I know they are. They come up all over. Tell them about the house you used to live in.
That's
11s
right.
And 22s have been in your house.
They have. I was born in house number 22. And you know, I did an experiment one time where I was getting interested in numerology, and I calculated all the numbers that were relevant to me, even to the counting up the passport numbers and all kinds of birthdays and so on. And everything came out as 11s or 22s, and they all ultimately boiled down to 4s. Isn't that interesting?
Well, then you had to come and get me.
Yeah, and you came
11,
along with
11.
Your 11. You really blew me out of the water, didn't you?
Anyway, I suppose we should back up a little and introduce ourselves. I'm Ann Gail Rose O'Grady, and I'm sitting here with my husband, my beloved Ahanu, Kevin O'Grady. And we are Twin Flames, and we are going to be talking about Twin Flames and Soulmates today. For all of those people who've been asking, we've actually received numerous questions about Twin Flame, the subject of Twin Flames, and people are really wanting to know all about these relationships. But first, let's talk about our announcements, Ahanu.
Yeah, let's give our announcements.
All right, so we have a show every Saturday at 11 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. We're called the Honest to God Series. And for those of you who want to call in and listen, the call-in number is 805-292-0349. That's 805-292-0349. And also we have a show on Tuesdays, every Tuesday at noon, and that is our free tarot show where people can call in and ask one only free question, but one question and I will answer. It's only a half hour show, so if you're interested in calling in, you do have to call in early.
You usually mention something about the weather. You say you're sitting here in beautiful,
I am.
Sunny.
Well, it's not today, which maybe I'm sitting by the fire today. It suddenly got very cold. I don't know what happened to the weather here in beautiful Hendersonville, North Carolina. The sun has been going in and out all day, but it is cold. It is. In fact, they thought it may snow this morning. We haven't had any snow all winter here.
Well, now, speaking of snow, I called my sister in Ireland yesterday, and she told me that the United Kingdom are having the worst snowstorms in recorded memory. And these are all part of these earth changes, obviously, that we've been seeing. Lots of times devastating parts of the United States of America, too, all during last year, and costing millions and millions and sometimes billions of dollars of damage. But when we start talking about twin flames and soulmates, I want to know, are they also part of these earth changes? You know, the fact that twins are coming together at this point in time, is that all to do with what's going on with the planet?
Yeah, that's a very good question. We will get to it. But the other announcement, since you're on the topic of Europe and Ireland, why don't you tell our listeners about our upcoming tour to Ireland?
Yes, oh, this is very exciting. We are taking a group of, let's say, spiritually minded people, although you don't have to be, to Ireland to visit the sacred sites of Ireland. We're calling it the Mystical and Sacred Sites Tour of Ireland on the 9th of June until the 23rd of June. And it promises to be a very, very exciting trip. We're going to be seeing leprechauns and fairies. We're going to be visiting Fairy Wrath. We're going to be listening to Irish music. We're going to be having a banquet in a castle. We're going to be doing all kinds of really, really exciting things and visiting the burial place of 9 of the High Kings of Ireland, as well as visiting these high-powered energy spots, and a little place in County Sligo where Queen Maeve is buried. So we've all kinds of exciting things planned for that. If anybody's interested in coming along on that trip, do contact us. You get us on the Blog Talk Radio Show / The Art of Living Well, or more conveniently, you can email us at angaelrose@angaelrose.com. I'll spell that out. It's angaelrose.com.
Thanks. That's great. And don't forget, my book launch will be happening on that tour as well.
Well, tell us about that book, because this is causing a lot of excitement out there.
It is. I'm writing a book called A Time of Change, and it will be excerpts from the various group Akashic Record sessions we've had in Ireland and America on all sorts of spiritual topics, getting really kind of mind-blowing information sometimes from those nights. So we're going to be compiling that in a book to share that with others, because there's just loads of stuff in there.
And isn't there a whole section on twin flames and soulmates?
There will be a whole section on twin flames and soulmates.
Maybe some of the callers today might provide little nuggets that we could include in that book, perhaps.
Sounds great. So I guess we better get started.
Let's get started.
All right. Do you want to start?
Well, I'm just hoping, really, that we're going to be able to provide some answers to people in our time today. Because a lot of times during our teachings and during our workshops, we get asked questions like, because we are ascension twins, and we get asked questions like, you know, is my twin flame on the planet? How do you know that you're in a twin flame relationship? What's the difference between twin flames and soulmates? And countless other questions like that. And I think it's necessary for us to be able to go through these questions, perhaps one by one, but certainly we need to be able to provide answers to people, because people, as we're finding, even in the tarot show, they're saying, you know, how come I'm going through so many relationships? Or you know, are these people twin flames or soulmates? What's going on with my relationships? What's going on with my life? Why am I troubled with relationships? Why can't I find that ideal, that perfect love relationship? So let's try and provide some answers to these questions.
Well, first, why don't you tell the people the difference between a twin flame and a soulmate? Let's start with that. Because a lot of people don't even know what a twin is. They may have heard the expression, but there's just as many people who actually haven't heard it, much to our surprise. We thought everybody had heard about it at least once in their lives. They certainly have heard about soulmates. They've heard that term, but not really, sometimes not really the term a twin flame. So it's a whole different type of relationship. So how about you explaining to our audience what is a twin?
To explain that in the short time that we have available is difficult, because it is actually a spiritual term. It's a very sacred concept, actually. And I'm not sure that I'm really qualified to describe it in spiritual or physical terms, except that I know what it feels like, because we are blessed to be in a twin flame relationship. So I know what it feels like, but that doesn't mean that I necessarily understand it completely. I suppose the main differences between the twin flame and the soulmate is that the core essence, or the divine blueprint of the twin, are the same. That they're both the same divine blueprint. They're both the same essence. Whereas the soulmate are not. They are actually can be two quite distinct people. Now, they can have many lifetimes shared together, and they can be also like parent-child or co-workers or siblings or husbands and wives or teacher-student type relationships. Whereas the twin flame relationship is special. It's very unique.
That's true, and I could add to that a little bit. The twin flame relationship oftentimes is described as either a flame or a white fire egg. And if you can imagine, originally, when you're in spirit, being looking like either a white fire egg or a flame, that flame will split into two at some point. And when it does, you've now just created a twin flame. What they really are is they are the same exact essence at their core, the same being. You mentioned the same divine blueprint. That means that their template that they function off of is exactly the same. So literally they are each other. And the two original pair can split again and cause what's termed lesser twins.
Now, and many people, are they lesser in terms of frequency or ascension capability?
They would be a little lesser in terms of frequency. They wouldn't have the exact same original intensity that original pair that splits does. But certainly, they will still feel like they are you. All right, there'll still be that familiar recognition that you are parts of each other. And again, that is very distinct from a soulmate, because with a soulmate, you can feel a strong familiarity. You can say, I know that person. But a lot of times with a soulmate, it would have been a very unique individual that you would have shared a lifetime with or done work with. Or, as you mentioned, they can show up in various types of relationships. And soulmate relationships can be very deep, just like a twin, except that there's a distinct knowing that that's another person, not a person who is you. And that's what's different about a twin flame, is they literally are you.
Okay. Now, you mentioned at the beginning of our program that we are coming up to Valentine's Day, and I've been blessed to be born on the 11th of February and then have Valentine's Day following very shortly afterwards. But I want to declare publicly my love for you by saying I love you, Angale Rose, on the radio to our huge audience. But it leads me also to ask another question, because a lot of times we hear about twin flame relationships being tragic. Now, our relationship is certainly not tragic, but, you know, the big names in history like Tristan and Isolde, and give me a few more.
Romeo and Juliet.
Romeo and Juliet, yes.
Yes.
And sometimes even people say about Adam and Eve that they may have been twin
flames. Yeah, they do say that, yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
So why do they lead to tragedy? What's that all about?
You know, I've never quite been able to understand that myself. What's the other one? Heathcliff and Catherine in Wuthering Heights. That's a classic one. In fact, we will talk about that one specifically, only because I know it so well. But in some of our listeners' questions, it's kind of springboard off of what happened to Heathcliff and, was it Kathleen? I don't know if her name is right anyway. Why are they so tragic?
Yeah.
Yeah, so well, let's get into this. Let's evolve into this. But first, let's talk a little bit about, you mentioned earlier that you know how it feels to be a twin. So why don't you describe that? Because I think our listeners need to hear it coming first from a man. Because when I first heard about some of the history, the history in terms of the planet and things that have gone on in our history with twin flames, I heard that from a man. And that man was literally sobbing with emotion because of how twins get separated. So that was actually very healing for me as a woman, because we women think that we're the only ones who have a sense of knowing that there is a type of love that is just so pure and so beyond normal love that we think that we're the only ones. We've been accused of being idealistic and romantic. So it's nice to hear from a man who can describe what it's like for him to be with a twin. And I love you too, Ahana.
Well, no, isn't that nice? This should be broadcast on Valentine's night, not on the 11th of February. Now, I guess you're asking me to recount and recall our story. And I have to say that I hope I'm not going to cry on the air now. And I'm glad people that are not going to be able to see me. You know, the funniest thing last week, when we dressed up for our radio show last week, you know, and I know we did that out of respect, but we sometimes forget that people can't see us on the radio. But yet, our emotions are very real. So when I describe our relationship, it was very exciting and very real and very disturbing at the same time. What happened was we were on a whale-watching trip in the Canary Islands, just off Tenerife. Beautiful, beautiful weather. Except that out on the ocean, out on the sea, it was quite cold, as it can be when you get that sea breeze. So I had my shorts on and my flip-flops, but I also had a big jacket on. In fact, I think it's the same jacket that I'm wearing now in this cold weather here in North Carolina. But I saw you, and I knew there was a divine connection. Not sexual, not arousing in that way, but something was very deep and very, very profound. And disturbing that somebody could have that effect on you. And I didn't understand it. I didn't know what was going on. And I did need to find out. As it turns out, there was a workshop going on in the United States of America a few weeks after that. And I made it my business to attend that workshop because it was about twin flames. And one of the things that I learned in that workshop was that the whole twin flame can be likened to a clock face. This was the way they described it, I remember. And if you picture the clock face with a 12 at the top and a 6 at the bottom, that looks like the primary twin pair, 12-6 pair they call it, which is what we are. But I didn't know that at the time, of course. And then when you mentioned about the lesser twins, that's when you have the 3-9 pair or the 11-5 pair or the 1-7 pair and so on. So I began to realize that, you know, maybe there was something more to this relationship than what meets the eye, because we certainly got through some deep spiritual progress during a short space of time. And we both recognized that there was something very healing about this, albeit disturbing.
That's true. And I remember being on that boat, and I was just enjoying myself, laying down on my stomach, watching the dolphins swim by the side of the boat, and I could literally feel you staring at me, and I kept thinking, what is he doing? What does he want? Okay. And you had these blue sunglasses on, so I couldn't see your eyes, and I turned around and my thought was, oh, this is trouble. This man is trouble.
I was saying the same thing about you. She's trouble.
And then when we saw each other at that following workshop, what I noticed is I would have a thought and suddenly you'd be there and you'd be answering my thought without ever knowing I thought it. And, you know, it was enough. It happened enough during the weekend where I thought, I need to pay attention to this. And then, of course, you know, that fateful dinner, which we won't go on about, but that kind of sealed our fate there in Phoenix. But you were living in Ireland, and I was in Chicago, so you would call me at different times. And
that was the strangest thing. I could never get through when I called, except at when it was midnight my time, or 6 o'clock your time, or 12 your time and 6 my time, because it was a 6-hour time difference.
Right, but we never made that connection. We never realized that until I was actually woken up in the morning by my guides telling me their exact words were 6-12, 6-12, he's your 6-12 twin. And I just remember it going, oh my God, because immediately when they told me that, they flashed me an image of the times that we spoke on the phone, and that it was always, you know, either a... Because Chicago was 6 hours behind Ireland. It would always be at the 6 or 12. And, you know, so they were saying, kind of proving it even right then and there. But I just remember that I thought to myself that I couldn't tell you because it was such an important, it is such an important relationship. And unfortunately, you and I have both witnessed a lot of couples who take that and manipulate another person.
That's right,
because... Because one person will recognize a twin and the other person won't. So the one who does recognize say, oh, you're my twin, and the other one doesn't have any idea, and they'll kind of manipulate them into a relationship, which you and I really believe and know is really not the way to do it.
That's right. And we've met a lot of people who have done that. Mm-hmm. And that, I think, is what leads to the tragedy. Yeah. But I had to admire you for not telling me, even though I pressed you many times. I can remember on the phone from Ireland saying, how is it that every thought that I think, you think the same thought, or you say what I'm thinking? And I began to press you, and because I knew that our minds were so synchronized that there had to be something more to this.
That's right, and it did take a lot for me to not tell you, but I eventually did tell you, only because you did ask me so many times. And I feel like because you were noticing such a commonality that I would tell you what happened to me about my guides telling me. But even when I told you, there was a part of you that still wasn't really willing to totally welcome it, because Because you did have, well, let's put it this way. Neither one of us were looking for a twin. Both of us were coming out of relationships that had been quite painful. And we weren't, neither one of us were really completely over the past lovers.
That's right.
And so it was to consider what this relationship might be like in with you living in Ireland and me in the United States. There was that distance issue as well. And
then you mentioned the fact that you want to hear from a man's perspective. And this is what I found very confusing, was because I could feel this connection. I knew there was something to it. But at the same time, as like a typical man, I would play down those feelings. I certainly didn't want to entertain them. And what's more, I needed proof. You know, I was the kind of guy that I could do all techniques, any kind of technique you want to give me, but unless I actually felt something or saw something, you know, then I wouldn't believe it. And this was a typical situation that as soon as the 12-6 thing came into my awareness, I began to realize, here's the proof. But wasn't that an amazing coincidence that happened to us in that hotel in Chicago? Tell our listeners about that.
Yes, we had gone, well, Kevin, or you had come to visit me in Chicago. You spent 6 weeks with me. During that time, you had a real estate meeting down in the city, and the organization had put you and a guest up in a 5-star hotel. So when we got downtown, they had overbooked the hotel and sent us to another hotel. Remember how put out we felt we were. We were tired. You had just come in from Ireland. You were exhausted. So here we are with our luggage going over to this other hotel, and we're waiting in line to check in, and you were ahead of me, and I was behind you, and I think there were a few people ahead of us to check in before us. So I just put the bags down, and when I looked down, I couldn't believe what I was standing on. And I said to you...
You said, look around.
I said, look down.
Look down. Yes.
Look down. And you looked down, and what were we standing on? But a rug in the lobby that was a clock, and you were standing on the 12, and I was standing on the 6, and we had just done it without even knowing what we were doing.
That was amazing. And at that stage, you had me totally convinced.
Well, I was sunk. They had us totally convinced.
I was sunk at that stage.
I know. Okay.
But like that in a way explains to people, because I don't think we should spend all the time speaking about us, because I know we have a number of callers that are waiting and we need to answer a lot of questions for people. But one of the things that I was very, very aware of during that period of time was how sensitive I was to not hurting you, because I was aware it was like hurting myself. Can you help people understand why that is the case?
I will. Well, it is because you are each other. And actually, I think for the two of us, that was something that just revealed itself in our relationship, because the first time we ever had an argument was so painful that we couldn't stand it. I just remember it lasted all of 2 minutes, because the pain of it was unlike anything I ever had in any other relationship that I've been in. And we immediately had to make up, because neither one of us could stand it. And it's still that way today, that we just can't argue. And not that we've never disagreed, because we have, but that kind of a knockdown, drag out where you're yelling at each other, or you're, you know, I remember other relationships where that other person would get me very angry and I would react, but with you, I just can't react that way. It's just too painful.
So what was the difference in the way you reacted to other relationships? I remember you telling me that, you know, you almost saw it as a battle of wits or a conquest, that it was necessary to prove the other person wrong.
Well, it was just, you know, if you were aware that you had a disagreement with your partner. But I think the big distinguishing factor for me was that, you know, I certainly didn't see that person as me. They were another person who was, in those moments, was my adversary. And I, you know, was trying to make a point. Where with you, there's no point in trying to make a point.
Yeah, and, you know, I understand that feeling, because it feels like it is a love beyond human love, is what it feels like. And it's like it sparks an ancient memory of knowing you at a level that I can't explain.
Yes, me too. I feel the same way. And it's just, you know, in the words that you use, you know, you just know that that person is your beloved, and that word just seems to go beyond, you know, any other label I'd ever given a partner in any past relationship.
So is this only happening to us, or are there lots of twins meeting around the globe? And are they feeling the same, that same sense of beyond human love for each other?
Well, there are lots of twins coming together now, and I think in the beginning of the show you may have mentioned, does it relate to the Earth changes? And I think it does. I think it relates to this time cycle that we're in, because we're at such an important pivotal point universally and cosmically in terms of moving into a whole new paradigm of our own identities. We hopefully will be evolving to a more harmonious, a more cooperative, a more love-based world. And the twins seem to be coming in now for the purpose of raising the energy on this planet to help with that. So in a way, you could say that the original twin flame union is the perfect balance of male and female, even though someone could have a twin who's a child, okay, but still, it would have to do with the energy they're carrying. But, you know, when they unite, they actually reinstate that divine male-female balance the way it was originally. So they're helping to put that back into the planet to help strengthen that field. So there's lots of twins that are showing up in people's lives. But I that will springboard us into some questions some people have sent us and written us about twins, because they are in the type where either they're aware of a twin, but the twin's on the other side, or they've met their twin in this life, but they're married to somebody else. So we do need to talk about the choices that twins have to make in order to be together. But I just wanted to back up here a minute and talk about a little bit of my history just quickly as a precursor to meeting you, because I was with very different relationships. I was with soulmates, and I was with three lesser twins. I was never with them romantically, those three lesser twins, but they came into my life. It was almost like the soulmates came in. I worked through old unfinished business with old soulmates, and then I'd move on, and then suddenly these twins were showing up, and I couldn't back then I couldn't figure out why I was not with these people, why it never evolved into a romantic relationship, because certainly the energy was extremely strong. But I can look back now and see why not, you know. And that's when we talk about some of the problems twins have, just suffice it to say it's the reason why those other twins were never romantic with me. They all were at pivotal points in my life where I needed to grow more spiritually, or I need to clear something from the past. So it was almost like they were fine-tuning me, showing up in my life, offering me an incredible amount of spiritual growth, accelerated spiritual growth, and fast-forwarding me to the point where I could actually be with you and meet you. And I wanted to just share that, because I do think there's challenges before you meet a twin. There's difficulties in relationships that have to be worked through before you can actually be with a twin energy. So do you want to...
Well, I'm very grateful to those guys for bringing you to the point of perfection just for me. So in essence, really, Angel Rose, when twins come together, it really is a victory, isn't it, for the divine masculine and the divine feminine?
It is, yes.
Yeah, and isn't it also like the reconnecting of the two split parts, the parts that were originally split, the reconnecting to form again that divine blueprint? So it's a huge spiritual and very sacred thing.
It is. Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Now, let's move into this part then, because there are many twins who meet one another and yet they don't agree to the relationship. And some of the people who've written me have, for the life of them, they cannot understand that. You know, even to the point where one woman who wrote said that she knew the guy was her twin, and the guy actually told her that he knew that she was his twin. And then he turned right around, and he went back to his ex-wife. And she just couldn't understand, how could he do that? How could he be presented with such a sacred opportunity and then refuse it? So can you talk about that, or do you want me to talk about that? Why somebody would say no to that?
Yeah, tell us, why would somebody say no to such a beautiful opportunity?
Well, you know, my feeling is that it has a lot to do with where they are on their soul evolution, where each person is, number one, okay? And number two, the personalities have to be in alignment, because they have to be compatible, because this is a relationship that is bigger than the both of them. In other words, yes, it involves your personal, you know, intimate relationship, but on a bigger picture, it's a mission. It's a, you know, you would come together when you with your twin at a time when you're needed for the planet, and there's an opportunity to go home together. And the truth is some people don't even want to explore that idea that this is it, that this is the person that I'm going to be going home with back into union, because that means, oh, there's no other girlfriends, there's no other women, there's no other men, you know, this is it. And a lot of times, a person can't handle the commitment of that or the responsibility. So they'll go back to what was familiar, even though they know it wasn't satisfying, or perhaps it had other things that attracted them. But I'm going to use the word courage, because you had a lot of courage to say yes to this relationship, because you actually...
Well, I nearly jumped off the balcony one day, didn't I?
You did. But you actually sold everything. You came to me from Ireland, and you sold everything.
I rescued you.
To come and be with me, not knowing, because we had really only spent 6 weeks together, and we spoke on the phone, but it was so strong that you made that decision to leave Ireland and come and be with me to explore this relationship. And you came with really just a suitcase and the clothes on your back. So do you want to talk about that? Because I'm trying to get across to people that the choice to be with a twin is huge, and it does carry a huge responsibility, and it will fly in the face of everything logical, okay? Because the other people will say, are you crazy? What are you doing? You hardly know this person, and yet you know, you feel like you've known them for an infinity, okay? So it does require courage, doesn't
That's
it?
That's right, yes. In fact, on this very same radio show, the Art of Living Well radio show, we heard a couple from Hawaii speaking about much the same type of commitment. They were from totally diverse backgrounds. They were questioning themselves, why am I doing this? This is crazy. My family are against it all. But yet they themselves knew in the core of their own hearts that what they were doing was right. Mm-hmm. And so it seems like you embrace a higher mission. This is what distinguishes the twins. I think this is also a characteristic that we see in some of those big drama movies about twin flames and so on, that there is this unshakable depth of love that's there. And nobody can take that away, no matter what happens.
Yes, but those movies also bring forward all the interference. When you ask me, why are they all tragic? You know, because those movies display how many forces come in to try to divide the twin pair, to try to tempt them into other directions.
Is that because the divine blueprint is coming back together? Is that because it's such a sacred mission?
It is. So you will get tempted, and you will get challenged in anything within you that's weak or unhealed. You know, whatever your...
So it's ultimately a good thing, obviously.
It is a good thing, but it is the reason that some people can't, like I say, can't handle that. When they get tempted, they fall into the temptation, or they go, they take the path of least resistance rather than saying yes to the challenge of this relationship. So, unfortunately, those movies don't always... I've never seen one with a happy ending. Have you?
No, I haven't. But of course, that's what sells the movie, isn't it? The whole
thing. It is what sells the movie, yes. Okay. But let me just, if you wouldn't mind, let me just go to somebody here who wrote me, because she is asking.
While Angie Rose is looking up those questions, let me just run down through maybe a quick summary of the main differences between twins and soulmates. And I'm just going to speak about twins for the moment. I'll let you know when I'm speaking about soulmates. The core essence or the divine blueprint of the twins are the same, and most have the same or similar planetary contracts. They usually have an ascension contract, and it's something that we should talk about in a few moments. They always split off into separate incarnations over many lifetimes. They do create their own karma, and then they come back around together during planetary cycles. We did mention a little bit about that a few moments ago. The one thing, though, that I find fascinating about the twin is that they would usually have cleared a lot of their karma before they meet, or the meeting itself would actually facilitate the healing of any leftover karma. And then that leaves them then with the potential to return home together. And there are other aspects of the twin as well, which are, they're like part of that spiritual contract. They can host themselves and others out. We don't have time to go into that detail just today, but they're able to hold ascension codes. And that really comes back full circle to when we were talking about earth changes. This is an ascension cycle, which only happens every 26,000 years. Do you want to spend a minute or two talking about that? I'm going to just run down through the soulmates then, and then we'll get to the questions.
Okay, well, I did mention a little bit about, you know, time periods in history that offer opportunities for all life forms on a planet to evolve and to grow to a more refined state of consciousness, a more aware state. And it does come down to the DNA. What you're really speaking of is codes, you know, like light codes or sound codes that, let's say, a twin couple, when they come together, would be a complete harmonic, okay? They would kind of fill in all the missing codes, all the missing gaps that maybe one part of them had pieces of it and the other one had other pieces, and when they come together, they fill in those missing codes, which allows them to create quite a large force field of energy around them to assist other people, to assist the planet. And I'll just go back just a second to talk about the accelerated healing that twins go through themselves, because it is part of the reason why some twins don't say yes to this, because it is like looking in the mirror all the time. You know, you're constantly being confronted with yourself in your twin. You know, because you're so much the same, there's nothing you can hide. And a lot of people spend a lot of their times in relationship hiding. You know, they don't tell the truth to their husband or wife. They keep parts of them private and separate. And the thing about a twin is that because you are each other, you're so telepathic, you know the other person so well, that if any little part of their energy is off or strange, you know it. Okay?
Okay. Now, many people have said that Jesus brought specific codes to the earth. Would you say that Jesus and Mary Magdalene were twins?
Well, we know they were, because we've asked in the Akashic Records if they were twins. And it has confirmed that they were, and they were here to bring those harmonic codes back together. And let's just explain that, because you don't have to have sex with a twin in order for you to be able to exchange your codes together. All you have to do is agree, you know, that you're willing to have the other receive your codes and vice versa. And you and I had a little joke about that on one of our first nights out to dinner with a group of people about exchanging codes. And
yeah, you gave them to me in a strawberry, didn't you?
Mm. Well, I did, but only because you were... Well, anyway, that's another story. But the truth is if you had a child, let's say, who was a twin of yours, just by them being in your environment, in your space, by you sharing your energy with them, there's probably a soul agreement on some level that those codes would be passed back and forth between each other. So I think it's important to say that they don't always have to be romantic relationships. And I think a lot of people do think they are only romantic relationships. So we do have to make that clear, because there's times when depending on the mission between the two of you and depending on your own individual soul contracts, there's times when the relationship has to take a different form, where you could be in each other's lives but not necessarily live in partners every single day.
Sure.
But we just happen to be fortunate that we are so compatible in our living space. We're together 24/7, and our relationship, I do think, is a bit unique in the fact that, you know, we don't really welcome time apart from one another for very long. And that is certainly different for me than other relationships.
Very different for me, too.
Than I've had, where I wanted a break or I wanted days with my friends. Or I have none of that with you. If I'm gone 3 or 4 hours max,
I feel part of me is gone.
It feels like this. Yeah. Okay, enough now.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Would you say that, well, we've got to get to these questions. Would you say that, because we all understand that we've had countless lifetimes, so we must be looking really at millions and millions of years, or perhaps billions of years even, where this separation has taken place, and now we're looking at bringing it all back together again.
That's true.
Is that the case?
Yes, it is. Yes.
Well, that's a wow, isn't it?
And I do think twins have probably had occasions in certain lifetimes where they've met one another and perhaps accomplished certain things together, or maybe not. Maybe it was just so... maybe it was a tragic situation. But I do think that there's been time periods where they would have at least met one another and had opportunities and then gone on and continue to have other lifetimes. But I what's different about an ascension twin or ascension possibility is that this is the life where you go back into union together. And once you do, it doesn't mean that you'll never continue and live after that. But what it is implying is that your earth karma is cleared, you know, and the two of you get a chance now to go back and be together as one.
Yes, and speaking of karma, it's one of the things that the twin does help reconcile quickly, and indeed can restore land areas and repattern grids and so on, and restore and heal ancestral karma. Mm-hmm. That's one of the fascinating things about twins. Whereas I did say that I would mention about the soulmates. The soulmate can be a parent-child relationship, or husband-wife, or teacher-student. And the soulmate is usually a part of the same soul family, or a galactic family. And they're here to learn from one another. And usually, they would be here to get projects done. So that's why you might find soulmates together in the same workplace, or perhaps even in the same family as parent-child.
And they would normally have a really strong attraction to one another, for positive or negative, and that's important to say about soulmates, is that just because you have a strong attraction to somebody doesn't mean it's always good for you. And I find that a lot of times soulmates will come back together and sometimes they're enemies. But, you know, I feel like, you know, there's always a purpose to that, you know, and unfortunately I've seen people get involved with soulmate partners who really they're not compatible with, they're not good for each other, and yet because they have that strong attraction, they just keep telling themselves that, well, this has to be, this must be, because I have this strong attraction. But I think they're missing the point of what the relationship could really be about, and that is worth exploring, okay?
Yeah, and you mentioned earlier about asking me to look at things from a man's perspective, and certainly, I think it's safe to say on the radio that a man's perspective can mostly be sexual. Is that the case, that is an attraction between the base chakra of that male and that female, or that male and male, or female, whatever the combination is? But is that purely a chakra attraction, or can that be a soulmate attraction, or can it be a twin flame attraction?
Well, I think it can be any and all of the above. Okay, but I think what happens, and what a lot of people don't understand in their attractions, is that sometimes they are attracted to somebody because it is for chakra healing on certain levels. Certain chakras may need healing in both people, and they happen to be a perfect match for that, or being given an opportunity. Other times, they could have been soulmates in another life that, let's say they planned on having a family and they never got to it, something happened, one or the other couldn't produce children, and they'll come back this life to be together just to have that family, okay? So there can be lots of reasons for soulmates. And I did mention that some soulmates who are enemies can come together, and it's usually always for forgiveness. But a lot of times they don't ever really get past the drama. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Of what that conflict's about. And that's unfortunate because the opportunity is there for such healing. Okay.
Yes.
But with twins, I find that they can have those strong attractions on all levels, or they won't have some of them on some levels, or they'll have... In fact, I'll talk about this just for a second, because twins, you know, we talked about how there are forces that will try to keep twins apart or divide twins, and some of those forces are that there could be a huge age difference between the two people. One of you could have total religious beliefs one way and somebody the other way. They could be like us, where we lived across the world from one another. They could have attractions in, you know, like I say, in certain areas, but then not in others. So there's a really great opportunity to be challenged in saying yes to that twin relationship. But what they have going for them is there's such a strong guidance and protection around the relationship if you do say yes to it, in the sense that it's almost like your higher guides will let you know if you're being interfered with and how, so that you can recognize what's really happening, and so you can re-choose what's going on. But I do think it's such a higher, that the difference is it's such a higher level of love that, like you were explaining, it just kind of goes beyond time as we know it. So,
speaking of time, we really don't want
to
run out. So can we go to these questions?
Okay, so our first person who wrote us was wanting to know why there were such difficulties, how to overcome them. Things keep coming between her and her twin, and she calls them runners or separation or just chaos in general. Okay, so she says she's been on other twin forums, and nobody can really seem to help her with that or help her learn how to overcome them. So this will be a response for her, and I think it'll be for anybody who has a twin who is not saying yes to them, okay, or is choosing another path or just refusing to come together. And I do have to say, as we mentioned earlier, that if your twin is saying no to you, you have to honor that. If they're being tempted by what she's calling runners or things that would separate them, if they're being tempted with that and the other person allows that to happen, then you just can't really do anything. You have to wait, and you have to wait with the idea that you just continue with your own life. Because what it implies is that your twin isn't ready for you. Okay, if they're going to be detained, okay, by ego things or by other things of this world that do not honor this union in its divine sense, it really means they're not ready for it. And I would encourage anybody like that to continue on with your own life and do not try to manipulate this relationship. So you wanted to comment on that.
Yes, because I have been asked many times in the past, what happens if your twin is not on the planet, is not incarnate at this time? Does that, because many of these people would be feeling a loss or a yearning, let's call it, that they can never, they have a huge desire to unite with that aspect of themselves, but they can never find it. But what if that person is not on the planet? Does it mean something goes unreconciled or unfulfilled?
No, because again, it's timing. You know, like for twins to really have an opportunity to go home together, they each really have to be ready on a soul level. And sometimes twins, one part of a twin will not incarnate because whatever their mission or their contract is, one has to do it from the other side, and the other person is going to be doing it here. In fact, this was one of our people who wrote in was actually asking about that. You know, she's aware that her twin is on the other side. She's wanting to know, will they ever get together physically? And you know, my feeling is probably not. You know, they probably won't incarnate together. Obviously, she's already well into her 50s or 60s. You know, for that twin to come in, he would have to come in as a child or a baby. It just didn't feel like that was going to happen. But really, it has to do with each person's soul evolution and what they're ready to do with each other. So, you know, in her particular case, I didn't think it didn't seem to me that it was going to happen. Yeah.
Okay. I want to just at this point in time mention to people that we did write a small ebook on twin flames and soulmates. Really, it's defining all the differences between twin flames and soulmates, and it's answering questions that we're not able to get to in the short time that we have on the radio today. But you can download that ebook from ahanu.com. That's my spiritual name, and I'll spell it. It's ahonu.com. ahanu.com. And if you go to that website, you'll just scroll down and you'll see the various ebooks that we have on offer. And one of them there is Twin Flames and Soulmates. Do download that, take a look at it. I think we have it there for like $4.99 or something like that. It's not that expensive, but or maybe $5.99, I'm not sure. But anyway, it contains very valuable information and will answer lots and lots of questions for people. The other question I want to ask you, Angel Rose, is about existing relationships. Say somebody is in a marriage or a partnership, and they know that their twin is somewhere else, perhaps at work, or I don't know, I don't want to put ideas in people's mind in the sense of betrayal, because that's not what I'm talking about. But what if somebody is in a relationship and they know that their twin lives down the street or in the next city or at their work, and they know that that person is really the ideal relationship for them? What should they do?
Well, again, I don't think it's an easy answer, and I certainly am not somebody who believes that just because you meet your twin that you should go have an affair with them, or that you should, leave your existing husband or anything like that, because that's not necessarily what it could be about. And, you know, sometimes a twin, in that case, comes into your life just to kind of show you, take stock of your life and examine, you know, what you're doing with your life and who you're with, and are you living a lie, or is your relationship that you have or the way you're living your life in the highest spiritual way that you could? So sometimes they show up to give you a heads up and say, you know,
so
hey, take a look here about what's happening.
The highest choice can be to stay in a loving relationship.
It can, but I do have to say that sometimes it is to leave your existing partner and go be with your twin. And certainly each person would have to determine that for themselves. But the one thing that I want to reinforce here is that these types of relationships are sacred and they're to be honored. So that means that you can't enter into it with any shady business, because the shady business will always mess you up, you know? You don't want to create any more karma, because this relationship is about clearing that. It's about being done with no loose ends, you know, coming in clean, being able to be fully present with your partner and be in this union in the way that it's meant to be. So, you know, people who, you know, I have met people who they're having an affair with their twin, and because they're not wanting to let go of the security they have in an existing relationship or marriage to go be with their twin. And that's exactly what I was talking about before. It is that now you've created karma. Now you've got a triangle. You know, now everybody's enmeshed with everybody else. And I really, really don't recommend that, as tempting as that relationship should be. In a twin relationship, you both need to have the integrity to be straight with each other, to come in clean. And that's my thoughts on that.
But before we close, because our time is winding down very quickly, I just want to read the last little paragraph from the ebook on Twin Flames and Soulmates that I mentioned, that you can order from ahanu.com, ahonu.com. It says, if you do encounter your twin, you'll usually feel a very strange familiarity right away. You will love them beyond human love. It will spark an ancient memory of knowing them at levels where there is no explanation. You'll never want to harm them in any way, because to do so would be unbearably painful to yourself. You'll sometimes look the same, but not always. But you will certainly know them as yourself, not separate, but as you. And to hurt them is to hurt you. You will never want to be separated ever again, and you will defend this union with your life. So I think that brings us to a very nice conclusion for our talk today on Twin Flames and Soulmates. Do give us the last of your announcements again before we close.
But I just want to answer this one question before we go with people. But just tell everyone again how they can tune into us next week. Because actually next week we do have an archetypal musician. This gentleman's name is John Verdi. We'll be on live with him next Saturday, the 18th at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And I think he's going to give us a demonstration of his music, but he uses archetypal sounds and old ancient language in therapy. In other words, he creates a unique piece for whoever is coming to him for help, and his purpose is to move them out of their traumas back into health, and he uses a real interesting way of music. So we're going to be, you know, blessed to have him tell us all about that next week.
That's going to be very, very exciting.
In conclusion, can I just say, a person had written in, because this is cute, and she said that she believes that her two cats are her soulmates, and she wanted to know, was that possible to have animals as soulmates? And I just wanted to say absolutely, positively, and it's been my experience that lots of animals were human in other forms, and sometimes they do come back for specific reasons to be with you in your life. So I just thought I'd throw that in.
Great, that's fantastic. Okay, to find us on this show, you go to blogtalkradio.com/artoflivingwell, but search for us under the Honest to God series. Honest to God series, that's where you'll find us. Or indeed, just do a search on any of the major search engines for angelrose.com, A-I-N-G-E-A-L, angelrose.com, or ahanu.com, A-H-O-N-U.com. This has been an absolute pleasure here today, and I want to announce publicly over the radio too, again, that I love you.
I love
you, Valentine's
too.
Day.
Happy Valentine's Day.
You've been listening to the Art of Living Well Radio Network, a subsidiary of Crowning Light Productions. For more information on all of our programs, go to our website, theartoflivingwell.tv. This is Gene Bogart saying thanks for listening to the Art of Living Well Radio Network. Radio to inspire enlightened living.